18, verse 97. If you're using the Pew Bibles, that's on page 912. And let me just echo, I really appreciate the great workers that we have that work with these young folks. And if you look on the back of that sheet, there's a lot of longevity there and a lot of faithfulness there. And what a great example that is to the young folks. And young folks, I hope you appreciate just the investment in your lives that each one of these teachers makes towards you. And I've heard a lot of verses quoted this evening already. And I don't even need to ask how many of our young folks have memorized a verse here in the last few weeks, right? All their hands would go up. Now, you don't have to put your hands up, but let me ask everybody out here, how well have we done memorizing the Word of God? We advocate that, we encourage that in our young folks, but some of us who are older, we can get a little bit lazy. But it is important for us to memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And we could say an older man too. Or how do we cleanse our way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then the psalmist goes on to say, thy word have I hid in my heart. A number of the leaders have referenced that expression even tonight. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so we want to carry God's word with us. It's important that we read God's word. It's important that we'll memorize God's word. But what I want to do is just take a few minutes tonight and talk about something else that's very important to us, perhaps even more important. Or what flows from investing your life in reading God's word and memorizing God's word, and that's meditating on God's word. So let's take a look. Psalm 119, verse 97. The psalmist here says, oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, talking about God, through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than my enemies. For your commandments are ever with me. In other words, I've hidden them in my heart. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So here we have a short passage that tells us we should love God's law. We should love God's word. We should love God's commandments. We should love God's precepts. We should be thinking about them all the time. And so I want you to do something with me here tonight. In fact, I want you to stretch a little bit. If you're able to, I'm going to have you stand. Everybody, young people, older people, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to put a verse up here, a verse I just read on the slides. And years ago, some of you know Brother Mike Schrock. He preached special meetings for our church recently, and for as long as I've known him, Mike has always done, anytime he enters into a group of meetings, with a verse that had it in it, as you say. Remember we did that during the special meetings? Well, years ago, probably 25 years ago, was the first time I encountered Mike, and this was the verse that he had everybody say. And so I'm going to ask you to do this with me. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this, okay, adults, you're going to have to step out of yourselves. Okay, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to go, oh, I love you, thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Okay? And we're going to say it with a little bit of gusto, with a little bit of energy, with a little bit of enthusiasm, and fitting with the Aurora pattern. So we're going to say the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference. And typically I forget the reference at the end, so you just go ahead and say it, and I will remember and draw along with you. Okay? So let's say it, and let's do the hand motions. Right? I love God, it is my meditation all the day, okay? Step outside of yourself a little bit. Okay, ready? Psalm 119, 97. Oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 97. Okay, let me do that one more time, a little bit louder, okay? Can you hear a little bit louder with me, all right? Psalm 119, 97. Oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 97. Okay, let you sit down. There's a great verse to have in your heart. To memorize it a little bit, but we ought to be people who love God's word and who think about it. And I want to just talk for a few minutes here about what are we talking about? We talk about meditating, okay? And I guess if I gave a title on this, it would be meditating on God's word. That's what we want to talk about tonight. And if you look at that text that we were just in, Psalm 119, verses 97 through 99. Basically, it says that we should love God's law. We should love the Bible. We should be thinking about it a lot. not just maybe for a few minutes in the morning as you read the Word of God, not just as you say grace maybe before a meal, not just when you come to church, not just when you're studying your verses for a while, but the idea is that those of us who love God's Word, we should be thinking about it all the time. You know, it is my meditation, how often? All the day. That doesn't mean it's every moment of every day. You know, we have things we have to do, but there's just this constant idea where we've hidden God's Word in our heart. And as we encounter pressures, as we go through different things, the Word of God comes to our mind, and we're thinking about it. And then we're asking God, what does this mean for me? Would you help me as I consider your Word? And God says we need to realize that His Word is a source of great wisdom. Verse 98, He says, "Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for this," talking about your commandments, "are ever with me." I've hidden them in my heart. And folks, when you memorize God's Word, you are doing a great thing, a valuable thing. And I have found that some of the, as a young person, I didn't grow up in a setting where I was challenged to memorize a lot of God's Word. Actually started for me as a young adult. And I still to this day remember with crystal clarity some of those early verses that I memorized as part of a discipleship study. And, you know, and by God's grace, I carry those with me to this day. And that's a good thing. And those are things that God can bring to our minds. And they give us wisdom. Then in verse 99, God says that the way we grow in our understanding of His Word is by meditation. He says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Here's why. "Because thy testimonies are my meditation." Now, I think we all understand this, but what I want to do is just spend a couple of minutes here talking about what it means to meditate. And I'm going to explain that just several different ways. One is meditation is like a cow chewing its cud. Many of you have heard that illustration before. But there's a word in the English language, it's ruminate. If you look up ruminate in the dictionary, it'll give you basically two definitions. One of them is to think deeply about something, to meditate. And the other definition is, it's what goes on when a cow chews its cud. Now, sometimes people will say, well, cows have four stomachs. They actually don't. They have one stomach, but it does have four parts. And so what happens when the cow is out there, you see them taking out that hay, that straw, that grass, and that they're eating. When they initially eat it, they just swallow it right down. It goes into their first stomach, which is called the rumen. Okay? They are ruminants. That's the kind of animal they are, and they ruminate. So it goes down in there, and there's different bacteria there, and it begins to work on it. But then they actually, sorry for the unpleasantness here, regurgitate it up into their mouth. And then they chew on it. And as they chew on it, it adds saliva, it adds moisture, and then they swallow it down again. And then it comes back, and they chew on it a little bit more, and then they swallow it down again. And it goes back, and they chew on it a little bit more, and eventually moves on from stomach number one, the rumen, on to the successive stomachs, and is digested. But the idea of ruminating it, it softens those grasses. It breaks them down. It makes them digestible so it will nourish that rare, large animal. And so the picture there of meditation is where we take the Word of God and we chew on it a little bit. And we swallow it, so to speak. And then we think about it. Oh, yeah, go back and chew it a little bit more. We can see it from a little bit of a different vantage point. We think about it. Yeah, what are the implications of that? What is this teaching me? What can I learn from this? And we turn it over and over and over in our minds. And as we do that, we digest, if you will, the truth of God's Word. And it grips our souls. And we embrace it into our minds so it's there. And we take away that truth, and the Spirit of God applies it in our lives and shows us so many things. Now, folks, it's important that we read God's Word. It is important that we memorize God's Word, but all of that is to no avail if we don't meditate on God's Word. If we don't step back and think about, what is God saying here? What's God teaching me about Him? What's God teaching me about me? What's God teaching me about what I need to do to live for Him better? What's God showing me that's going to encourage me, that's going to help me become more like my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? So it's important that we meditate on God's Word, just kind of like a cow chewing its cud. And secondly, meditation is a little bit like worrying, except on a much better subject. Okay? Sometimes people say, well, I don't really know how to meditate. And I say, well, do you know how to worry? And they go, oh, I know how to worry. Well, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. The problem is that when we're worrying, we're thinking about the wrong stuff. Meditation is going through that same process and thinking about the right things, right? Because what are you doing when you're worrying? You're thinking about, oh, what if this happens? And what if this happens? You know, well, maybe it's this. And you're thinking through all the possibilities. And you're thinking through all the implications. Except you're thinking about the negative, fearful, analyze me, you know, kind of a way. Meditation is just taking the promises of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, and thinking about, well, what if, you know, what if God said this? What if it's really true? Well, what does that lead to? What does that mean? What are the implications of that? It's that same process of turning those things over, just like when you worry. You know, God tells us, don't worry. Cast your cares on Him. And one of the ways you do that is by turning your attention off of the circumstances that are scaring you or the uncertainty that's kind of making you unravel a little bit and turning to the certain truth of the Word of God and start turning that over in your mind instead of the what if or I'm afraid or, oh, this is terrible. And instead we say, boy, this is wonderful. Look at what God says. He says that one or two of the guys quoted, now, my grace is sufficient, right? What a glorious truth. The world we're facing, you know, God's grace is sufficient for you. What a glorious truth that God will never leave me or forsake me. What a glorious truth that God's always there with me. And we encourage ourselves as we think about, well, what does that mean? Well, that means I don't need to be afraid. God's there to protect me. God's there to watch over me. God's there to strengthen me. And we let those truths, you know, settle into our souls. You know, like that cow, you know, they're just turning it over and over and over again. And thinking, wow, look at all there is here for me. So meditation is like a cow chewing its cud. It's like worrying only in a much better place. And meditation is really filling your heart and your mind with God's truth and God's promises. Now sometimes when you use the word meditation, people think about, you know, like Eastern mystical meditation, right? There's something they call transcendental meditation, where you kind of go into a trance and distance yourself from reality. And the things that when we try to teach people how to meditate like that, they say, just empty your mind, right? Empty your mind and think about nothing. You know, and then just kind of take this kind of nirvana. You know, that's not meditation. I mean, it is to them, I guess. But, you know, when God talks about meditation, He's not saying empty your mind. He's saying fill your mind. Fill it with what? Fill it with the truth of God's Word. Fill it with the promises of God. Fill it with expressions of encouragement from the Scripture. And turn those things over. And chew on those things. And digest those things. And think on those things. And God will do really amazing things. Let me have you turn to Acts chapter 9. And I am almost done here. Really, I am. I want to just suggest one more thought, just a little bit about, you know, what goes on when we meditate. And this is an unconventional passage to that end. It's page 1542, if you're using the Pew Bibles. And this is talking about the conversion when Saul of Tarsus, who was the Apostle Paul, he eventually became Paul, the Apostle. But Saul of Tarsus, he was out there persecuting the church. He was out chasing down Christians. He was there observing as Stephen was stoned. He was not a nice guy. He was not a good guy. He was not a friend of Christianity. And verse 1 of Acts 9, it says, Saul had breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. He asked for him to give him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, any Christians, when they were all in, he might bring them bound down to Jerusalem. Verse 2, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, and Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for me to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it will be shown you what you must do. But you ask two questions there that the Apostle Paul asked when Jesus met him there on the road. The first one was, who are you, Lord? He's looking around at who are you, Lord? And the second one was, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I just want to suggest to you that maybe as you are reading the Word of God, as you are meditating on the Word of God, as you're considering, you know, a text, a passage in the Scripture, these are good questions to ask. You know, the idea of Lord, what can I learn about you from this passage? What does this tell me about what your priorities are, what your values are, what your desires are? And then secondly, Lord, you know, in light of that, what should I do? What should be adjusted in my thinking? Where do I need to make a change in the things that I give my heart, my attention to? Maybe there's something I'm not understanding properly. But really, as we meditate, the idea is not just to read the words. And sometimes we know that as a Christian, I should read the Word of God. Absolutely, we should. But we can kind of go into it and say, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a day. And we read the chapter a day, and you get done reading, and it's like, I have no recollection of what I read. I mean, I read it, you know, I pulled my eyes over the page, but went through my mind, and I just kind of read, you know, because we're not really meditating. And you can memorize lots of Scripture and be able to quote it just like somebody could quote Shakespeare. But it doesn't change your life. What brings the change from the Word of God is that when we start to turn it over in our minds, when we're thinking about it, when we're saying, Lord, I know that you have things you want me to understand about you as I study your Word. I know there's things you want to accomplish in my life as a result of my looking into your Word. And folks, that's what we need to do. It's not enough just to read God's Word. It's a glorious thing to memorize God's Word, but that's not enough. What brings about the life change is when you really invest your heart, your soul, your mind, your thinking on those things that you find in the Word of God. So let's go back to that verse where we started. One more time. You don't have to stand. You don't have to do the motions, okay? But you do have to say it nicely and with confidence, right? So reference, verse, reference. Psalm 119:97. It is my meditation all the day, right? So I hope that you would say, I want to grow in my love for God's Word. And I want to be meditating over the course of the day. You know, as God brings things to mind, as I encounter pressures and circumstances, I want to look to God's Word. I want to give my attention to God's Word. And really, that is one of the key goals of the Awana program. To help young people grow in God's Word by reading it, by memorizing it, by understanding it, by meditating on it, by thinking about it, by asking God to use His Word to help their lives change, to help them grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. There's one more goal I want to mention in our Awana program before we close tonight, and this one's even more important, if I can say that. And this is my desire for every young person who comes through our Awana program. And it's my desire for every parent, family member, friend who is here in our auditorium tonight. And that is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in a personal way, in a way that cannot be taken away because it's by grace through faith, not thinking that it's based on your works. And this is what we call the gospel. And for many of you, you could say what I'm going to say right here with equal clarity and with equal simplicity. But the gospel is the good news that the Bible. It's kind of a central theme of the Scripture. You know, and there's this problem. We're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty associated with that sin. Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. But there has been a payment made for your sin and for mine. And that happened when the Lord Jesus, the sinless Son of God, went to the cross and shed his blood and gave his life to pay the penalty for sin. And he invites every person, however old or however young you may be, men, women, boys, girls, whatever your background, whatever your circumstances, the Lord Jesus invites every person to turn to him in saving And, you know, one of the great lies of the devil is that it's about what you do. You have to prove your worth. You have to try harder. You have to do better. Nothing could be further from the truth. What the gospel requires is that I understand that I am a sinner and I can't save myself. One of our own folks quoted Titus 3:5 this evening. Not by the works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Right? You know, it's for by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. And you know, I've often described the difference between Bible salvation and religiosity, work salvation, is that sometimes people think it's about what I do. But the Bible says, no, your salvation is about what Jesus has already done. You know, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. He did everything that is necessary for you to be saved, and he just invites you to turn to him and say, so if perhaps as you sit here tonight, or maybe you're at home listening to this on a Facebook live stream, but if you can't say for sure on the basis of what the Bible says, if you can't say for sure that I know my sins are forgiven, I know that Jesus is my Savior, I know that I have eternal life, I know that if I were to die, I would go to be in heaven with him. If you can't say that, we would love to share with you that truth, you know. And you could just slip up to myself, one of our leaders here, and just say, you know, not sure I fully understand that, or could you answer some questions? We'd love to do that. You know, for most of you, maybe for all of you, you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and I praise God for that. I praise God for these young folks who are exposed to the Word of God and to the Gospel, because that is really what God is all about through, not just through programs like, well, through the Bible, through the whole plan of salvation that he has laid out, is that people would come to a personal relationship with him. And then having that relationship, that we would grow as we learn the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, as we advance. Father, we're thankful for your Word. Thankful for all these young folks. Thankful for the teachers, for the parents, for each one represented here tonight. I pray, Father, that if there are any who are without Christ, that they would turn to Jesus even tonight. That they would not let another day go by, but acknowledge their need and cry out to Jesus, asking him for salvation as a gift. And I pray for these young folks that you would just continue to cement the truths that they've been memorizing and studying into their hearts. Help them to think on it. Help them to allow the Word of God to change them for their good and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, just before